John chapter 19. Been looking the last few services at seven sermons from our suffering Savior. The last words of Jesus as he hung on the cross. I've said it like this. I hope you understand, what would God say when he knew he was about to die? He was God and he knew his life was coming to an end. And the last words of God surely are important. Every word he uttered was important. But I just sort of think in my mind, if he knew he was about to leave, and he did, the last things he said we ought to listen to. And what he uttered on the cross was more than just a bunch of words. I promise you, if it was one of us, we'd say some things probably nobody'd want to hear, or things that would be worthless. But what he said, everything had a meaning and everything had a word to us. Everything has a message to us. I've entitled it Seven Sermons for a reason. The first thing he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That I call a prayer that involves a Savior's deliverance. The second utterance, or the second message, he said, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I said, that's a promise that involves a sinner's delight. The next thing he spoke to his mother and said, Woman, behold thy son. And he spoke to John and said, Behold thy mother. I said, that was a passion that involves a son's devotion. And then the next thing he said was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I said, there's a plan that involves a sad denial. And then last time he uttered the words, I thirst. And I said, that's a plea that involves a selfless desire. Look in verse 30, and it says, When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, Here it is, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now there's one more saying that John doesn't record that we'll look at. But what we're looking at tonight is the words, it is finished. I deal with this as a power that involves a satanic defeat. I thank the Lord we finally got here. A power that involves a satanic defeat. He said it is finished, and that says an awful lot. And we'll deal with some of that. But I am very much enjoying, I am very much interested in the fact that it meant that it's the finish of Satan. It does not mean that he was dealt with instantly, but it does mean that his end was secured. It was like the devil tried to back Jesus up to a corner, and he came out with a 1-2 blow and put him out. I am so glad he gave the knockout punch there on Calvary. It says in Luke 23, verse 46, And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, you understand he has gone through agony for hours. He has hung on the cross three hours of sun and close to 3 hours of darkness. He's had nothing to drink. He is bleeding. His blood is going low. There's an awful lot of blood loss. And most people by that time, if they could utter anything, it would be barely above a whisper. But Jesus cries with a loud voice, It is finished. I'm so glad that he cried out that victory cry. It's a cry of victory. It's a cry of triumph. It is the Greek word tetelestai. The three words in our English is one Greek word, and it is tetelestai. And that's so important. Boy, I'll tell you, that word means so much to those who were Jews, and it ought to mean an awful lot to us. It simply means it is finished. There's nothing that needs to be added. There's nothing else that needs to be done. Everything necessary, everything needed has now been accomplished. He had done what he came to do. He has drunk the last bitter dregs of the cup. The time of the end has just about come. It literally means one period is ending and another period is beginning. The word tetelestai means something's about to change. And boy, it was. It literally is the center of man's universe. From Adam to the cross, they looked ahead to this one point. From that point on to our day, we look back to that one instant where he cried, It is finished. It is what he said. It is what he did. And he accomplished the whole thing. Well, this probably doesn't mean any much more to you than it does to me, but I'll mention it. In the Greek language, this word, tetelestai, is in the perfect passive indicative tense. Now, doesn't that mean a lot to you? Doesn't mean a lot to me, but I'll tell you what it means. Usually I wouldn't even mention that, but it's too good not to. It means something has happened, and something has happened that has been finalized, but that has happened has a lasting result. The first thing I thought about was when God said, "Let there be light." There was a one-time experience when God spoke and there was light. But that was just the beginning. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," it ended something, but it began something new. And it has a lasting effect even now. That word, tetelestai, was used as an accounting term. Merchants would take a stamp or would take their pen and would write the word tetelestai on a bill when it was paid. When a prisoner served his sentence in prison, when they came out, they would take his papers and stamp or write the word tetelestai. It is finished. He's finished his sentence. He goes free. When a slave would come to his master and says, "I've done the task that you gave me," he would say, "Tetelestai, it is finished." When an artist finished the painting, he would lay down his brush and say, "Tetelestai, it is finished." When a soldier was just about to kill an enemy, as he drew the sword back, just about ready to slay that enemy, he would cry, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And I'm so glad when Jesus said that day, tetelestai, the end of Satan was just about to come. Sin, Satan, and self was being defeated. Now I want to say tonight, those words, "it had finished," says an awful lot. They say first that the payment of sin was satisfied. Jesus said, "It is finished." That tells me the Father had accepted his sacrifice. Boy, for there to be a sacrifice that was accepted by God, it had to be a perfect sacrifice. He said all through the Old Testament, "When you bring a sacrifice to me, it must be without blemish. It must be without flaw. It must be the way I say, or I will not accept it. You are wasting your time. You're doing no good to bring me a sacrifice that I will not accept." And when Jesus said, "It is finished," it's proof positive that the Father had accepted his sacrifice, that it was a sacrifice that was pleasing, a sacrifice that satisfied his holiness. And that's why Isaiah 53 verse 11 said, "He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied." The sacrifice of Christ had satisfied the holiness of God. God's never been satisfied with anything less than himself. That's why he wasn't satisfied with Cain's offering, because it was the work of the flesh. That's why he's not satisfied by people who try to get into his home and his heaven by getting baptized or doing good works. That's not the sacrifice he demanded. But Jesus died on the cross, and when he said, "It is finished," he is saying the payment of sin has satisfied the holiness of my Father. That's why Colossians 1:14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." All those millions of Old Testament sacrifice, all they could do was cover up the sin for a little while. But the priest had to go in and offer another sacrifice. More blood had to be shed and more lives had to be given. And all it did was cover it up for a little while. But when Jesus gave his life, it was one sacrifice. Brother Brian had it right. One sacrifice forever. And Jesus said, "My Father is satisfied forever. It is finished." He's accepted the sacrifice. Not only did this these words, "It is finished," tell us the payment of sin was satisfied, but it also tells us the promises of Scripture was seen. You see, this Old Testament had been promising one would come, had been promising a Messiah or a Savior, or it promised, listen, that God would send God to die. And you know what happened? He did. He did exactly, listen to me, hundreds of years before it happened, this book, penned by different people at different times, told us, told them, He's coming. And when He comes, Isaiah 53, He will give His life for others. He will die the guiltless for the guilty. The Old Testament Scripture said it. And when He said, "It is finished," He is simply saying the Word of God has proven itself to be true. There's hundreds of Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled while He walked this earth. There's at least 60 direct prophecies He fulfilled by dying on the cross. Do you want to know the odds of someone accidentally fulfilling those prophecies? Let's just take 8. There's 8 very direct, very precise, no question about it, prophecies about the cross that Jesus fulfilled. Well, mathematicians, in fact, there's a man named Peter Stone that's a mathematical genius. And he devised the chances of him, of anyone coming and accidentally or even trying to on purpose fulfill those even just 8 prophecies. And here's what he said, the chances of one man accidentally or trying to fulfill only 8 prophecies, as the Bible says. And he said to fulfill these only 8 prophecies would be 1 to the 17th power. That means it's a 1 with 17 zeros. Excuse me, that's beyond my head. In other words, it's impossible. And he gave an illustration. He said, if you want to know the chance of someone fulfilling prophecies like Jesus did, if you want to know what the number 1 to the 7th power is, he said, go to Texas and fill up the entire state of Texas with silver dollars. Fill up the entire state of silver dollars of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep. Go somewhere in that pile of silver dollars and put one mark on one of those silver dollars. And then you take a man and blindfold him and tell him he does not know where the silver dollar is. It may be up north, it may be down south, it may be east, west, it may be in the middle, it may be on the top, it may be on the bottom, it may be halfway through. He does not know. You blindfold that man, and the chance of him going and finding that one silver dollar the first time is just like those 8 prophecies coming to pass by chance. Did you get that at all? That was a long story explaining. It ain't no way. Unless he is, hey man, who he claimed to be, it ain't going to happen. But you know what? He is who he claimed to be. And when he said, "It is finished," he is saying, "I have done what the Word said." You know what that means to me? I can trust that Bible. Now, I can spend 15 minutes trying to explain one point to you. Bottom line is, I can trust that Bible. He said, he is saying, when he said, "It is finished," he is saying, what that Word said has come to pass. "It is finished" means the payment of sin was satisfied. The promise of Scripture was seen. When he said, "It is finished," it means the promotion of saints was soon. There are some people down in paradise quite anxious for an announcement. I love this real good. Up to that time when somebody died that was saved, they didn't go up, they went down. Now that just sounds a little scary right there. But they went to paradise, to that place of joy, that place of peace in Abraham's bosom. It's where Lazarus went. And all those people in that place of paradise are waiting for something. They're waiting for the cross and they're waiting for the resurrection. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," it was as good as done. Now, I don't know how it happened. I don't know who heard it first. I don't know if they made an announcement. I don't know if they heard the very words. He cried, "It is finished." But somehow those people in paradise heard, "He has done it. He has done it." Hey, hey, if he hadn't done it, they'd have had to go to hell. Their only hope of staying with the Lord. I'm talking about, this is a big deal. This cross thing, I don't want to cheapen it, but this cross thing is vitally important. And had he not died and had he not risen, those in heaven would have to go to hell and we would have no hope tonight. But he did. And when he said it is finished, he is saying it is done, it is done, it is done. And I don't know if they heard in paradise, don't know how they heard, but they heard. And they finally realized we are okay. Our promotion's coming soon. And sure enough, when he rose from the dead, it says he ascended on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. There came a time he came down and got them and took them up. The promotion of saints is not just that bunch that was in paradise. The difference for his people is not just a bunch of help for those that are confined to paradise. It's for me. When he said it is finished, he's guaranteeing some help for me. He's guaranteeing some help for me. He was guaranteeing my forgiveness. He's guaranteeing my help. He's guaranteeing me that I'd get comfort when I was troubled. He was bruised for my iniquities. That means my sin has been taken care of. Oh, I'm so glad that he carried my sorrows. Therefore, I don't have to by myself. I'm glad he mourned for me. He grieved with me. I'm glad I'm not by myself. His speaking of the words, "It is finished," guaranteed my promotion, guaranteed my help. Those words, "It is finished," not only means that the payment of sin was satisfied and the promise of Scripture was seen, the promotion of saints was soon, but it means the plight of sinners was settled. There's some more people wanting to hear that day how this cross turned out. On the paradise side, they're wanting to hear it because they want deliverance and they want to remain free. But on the torment side, what's called hell, where the rich man was and many others, they also are waiting an announcement. They're wanting to know how the cross went because they know if he fails at the cross, I can get out. You hear what I'm saying? This cross was a whole lot more than what we really think of. Had he failed at the cross, hell would have been released. You think about if you're in hell, and there may be a chance you can get out. You think you'd want to hear the announcement? You think you'd want him to fail? Sure you would. I don't know how they heard it. I don't know if they heard the words he spoke. I don't have any idea. But somehow through the halls of hell, they heard, they found out, it is finished. And they realized their eternity was sealed. The plight of sinners was settled. They would stay in hell. They would go to the lake of fire. You see, what happened on the cross is not just positive, it's very negative also. Because they had rejected the only way they could escape hell. And they had no hope forever. The words, "It is finished," also deals with the pardon of salvation was secured. I got in on that March 2nd, 1975. When I stumbled down the aisle of Little White Baptist Church And went right down there to the side of the altar as a long-haired drug addict. And fell on my face and said, Lord, I need you. You know what I found out? I found out it had been finished a long time before that. That the work of Calvary was sufficient. That my pardon was provided for. That salvation and forgiveness for those who are dirty, rotten sinners who will believe and repent will find a forgiving and loving God. He said, it is finished. That means all the battle of the devil and all the fight against the cross has been unsuccessful. The work of salvation, listen to me, the work it took to save me was completed. And I could be pardoned, I could be forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's why later on when they said, what are we to do? What are we to do? How can we be saved? Here's what they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Because Jesus finished the work. He said, it is a finished. Tetelestai. I'm so glad he didn't stop halfway. I'm so glad. Do you hear that song she sings? I love the song. I love a lot about the song, but I can't help the high water mark. And my mind on that whole song is, I'd do it again. I believe he would. I'm glad he doesn't have to, but he would. Whatever it takes to be able to save sinners, he'll do it. And I want to say this evening without any shadow of a doubt, he's already done it. Nothing can be added. It is finished. Nothing can be added. Nothing needs to be added. When we try to add something, we mess it up. A lot of people trying to add things to salvation. Well, you got to believe, but then you got to live right, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to, oh my. The pardon of salvation was secured. I want to say when he cried, it is finished, the payment of sin was satisfied, the promises of Scripture was seen, the promotion of saints was soon, the plight of sinners was settled. The pardon of salvation was secured. And I want to say this, and this is what I really want to get to. It won't be long. I just kind of got here. The punishment of Satan was sure. He just lost. In my spare time, and I don't have a lot of spare time, I hope it doesn't bother you. I pull up YouTube, and I look up car scenes, chase scenes, somebody trying to escape from the law, or attempted robberies, dumb criminals. It seemed like here in the last couple of times when I pulled those kind of things up, robbery attempts have come up, and I've watched a couple of them. I just love the far out of it. I'll tell you, somebody trying to rob somebody. They think they got the upper hand. Somebody goes, whoppa, and just knocks them just plumb out. Or the no karate, I ain't going to try this spin move. Foot couldn't get 2 inches above the ground. Three, you would have to take it to the hospital. They know karate, and they take a spin move, and plop. And I say, yeah, go get them. They thought they had the upper hand, but they didn't. They ran up to somebody stronger than them. They ran into somebody smarter than them. And that's what the devil did. And he lost. It is finished. You lost, devil. You lost. At this point, you are a loser. And your punishment is sure. Your punishment is sure. There's no way you can win now because the payment has been paid. The battle has been won. His fight is futile. Have you noticed he's still swinging? Have you noticed he's still trying to fight? If you haven't, I sure do want what you're drinking, I'll tell you that. Because he's about to whoop half of us to death, and we shouldn't let it happen, but he is. And according to what I'm preaching right now, we dumb to let it happen. But he's still fighting, but he's fighting a losing battle. He's fighting a losing battle. I've said it so many times from this pulpit, but he is no longer my king. He is no longer my master. I'm no longer in his family. And he may tell me what to do, but he has no right over me any longer. He is no longer my boss. God fired him. It is finished. Finished him. His fight is futile. Let him go ahead and try, but he never wins. He's fighting from defeat. We're fighting from victory. His fight is futile, and his future is final. One day, the devil himself will bow before our Savior and proclaim him as King, proclaim him as God, and be cast into a lake of fire. He'll bow just like Hitler. He'll bow just like Judas. He'll bow just like the scum that he is. He's heading for the lake of fire forever. There is no hope. It's gone. It's done. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," it finished it. The battle's won. What does that mean to me? A whole lot, man alive. But I think it ought to do something in my heart where I say thank you. Do you hear the testimonies, and the songs, and the words? Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, you didn't have to come. And I sure didn't deserve it. And I got news, I still don't deserve it. I don't merit what he did for me. I didn't back then as a drug addict, but I don't tonight as a Baptist pastor. I don't deserve it. Oh, but that's why it's so good. I don't deserve it. That's called mercy. Mercy is for those who don't deserve it. And mercy for those who can't help themselves. And I fall in both categories. I want to say thank you, Lord, for doing what you did for me. I want to praise you. You're worthy. Oh, you're worthy. You're worthy, a God that good, a God that righteous, a God that holy, a God holy enough for God to accept him, a Savior holy enough for God to say, "I'm satisfied." Oh, he deserves our praise. He deserves our worship, but he deserves our lives. He deserves our all. And you know what he says? He says, "Will you do what I ask you? Will you present your bodies a living sacrifice? I gave my body a dying sacrifice for you. I'm not asking you to die for me, probably, but I am asking you to live for me." He sure deserves it. He's sure worthy. Let's stand together.